Let's pray. Our Lord God, we thank you for this new day, this new season of your revelation, this season of what we call Epiphany. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who does not hide himself, but chooses to reveal in so many different ways, from the smallest of child to the greatest stars in the heaven. We love you, Lord, and we desire to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this might be like a getting older thing, I don't know, but I've been doing a little genealogy research. Is that an older thing? I think as we get older, we just kind of will know, you know. And I want to just kind of confess, it's been on my mother's side. My father's side's got a lot of skeletons. I just want to leave that alone. But actually, I'm named on my mother's side. So I've been just doing a little research. And two things I knew about this, this kind of thing, but when I was doing it, it just spoke a word that I think is relevant, at least to what I want to share today. And that's this, that usually in any story, any narrative, any event, there's a common thread, a common DNA that flows through it all. And depending on who writes your genealogy book or the research, you can kind of see that. I mean, you can go back three, four, five, six generations, and you can see that common thread. And the other thing that I've noticed is that you can have the same event spoken by a number of different people and place and things, and they seem to be totally different, but they're all true. So you can, well, let me say that again. You can have a record of something that seems like it's not the same event, and it is, and they're both true. And so as we come to Epiphany, the reason I bring that up is we start this season of Epiphany, January 6th, with Matthew's what we call birth narrative. All right, and if we were to read earlier, if you got a Bible, you're welcome to open it up. And but back in chapter 1, I almost kind of read back to verse 18. But you have Matthew's account of what went on when the angel visited Mary, but it's really more from Joseph's perspective. You hear Joseph's inner struggle. And on Christmas, which we began the Christmas season with the other birth narrative, you probably know this, but there are only two birth narratives of Jesus' birth in the scriptures, and that's, well, in the Gospels, that's Matthew and Luke. Mark starts with his baptism. John starts with just this whole concept of what it means. And so they seem to be totally different, but it's the same event. And I mean, this is obvious, right? I mean, if I were to tell the story of the birth of my four children, it would be totally different than if Ruth told the story. I was not laying on the bed. I was not birthing this child, you know. And so I just want to say that, and I'm going to make a point about that later on. So we heard in the words of Matthew's gospel, these magi, whoever they were, from the east. And if you come to the 10 o'clock, you'll kind of hear the children's version of who they are. And they hear these words in verse 2. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. All right. Now here's just a little side. Do you know the next time in Matthew's gospel, and I bet you do know this, where it's mentioned Jesus, King of the Jews? Anybody want to make a shot? At his crucifixion. Isn't that interesting? Matthew uses it twice. Here at the revealing of Christ to the Gentiles, and then at the very end in his crucifixion. So, like Christmas, Epiphany begins with this birth narrative. And the common thread, it seems, yes, is Mary, but that God is doing something new, right? He's light. I'm so thankful for Matthew. If we didn't have Matthew, we wouldn't have Emmanuel, God with us. You know, if we didn't have Luke, we wouldn't have that amazing story of Mary and struggling with the angel and then journeying to visit Elizabeth, and then the whole story of John the Baptist and the prophetic word that God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to Zechariah and Elizabeth. I mean, just all that thing. You know, nothing is impossible with God. I mean, that's Elizabeth. I'm so thankful for the diversity of God's narratives. And so if we look at that common thread, then we see this inner struggle, but perhaps something else. Perhaps there's another common thread that if we looked at all the stories, and there is, and I want to say it's the fulfillment of what God has been spoken. That God's DNA, his purpose all along was the revealing of his plan to not just the Jews, but to the whole world. I mean, let's look at Isaiah 60 here. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness of people. And then he goes on, all nations shall come to your light. So this is that common DNA if you just look in it. And we heard from Micah. Also, he quotes in Matthew's Gospel, Micah. We read that on the fourth Sunday of Advent. You know, out of Bethlehem, who are you, Bethlehem? You're the least among it. It seems like this is that common thread that God uses the least to bring about his plan. Common thread. And then, you know, not only do we hear something from the past, but if we were to go forward. I don't know if you even picked up on this, but did you hear the reading of Ephesians? What Paul realized what had been going on for over, you know, the word had been spoken since Isaiah's time. And he says here, the mystery that is the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Isn't that an amazing theme? They're fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. And then down in verse 9, and this is to bring light for everyone. What is the plan of God's mystery? This common thread. Matthew recording, if you will, the Magi, in my understanding, is one of the great seeker stories in scriptures. This is the history of God's people, is it not? They're always on a journey. They're always seeking. They're always missing the mark. And I just kind of wrote this. I actually sent it to a text to myself on Friday so I would remember Saturday when I actually finally got time to do this. That God tends to meet us in our darkness, in our unrest, and then he tends to lead us by his light. Isn't that what Gabe's word was last week? He leads us by his light, but he meets us in our darkness with that light. And this is that story, it seems to me. So this is quick, guys. Here's our takeaway. You ready? Number one, I believe this, that if we're going to seek the Lord this season, this new year, 2019, I want to encourage you to seek him in the complete narrative of God's story, not just one little. You know, so oftentimes we get into one little thing and then we just stick with that. What about the complete narrative? What about not just Luke and Matthew? What about Joseph's perspective? What about Mary's perspective? What about, you hear what I'm saying there? The complete, don't just get caught on one thing. Seek the complete narrative. Isn't that what our whole year is about? Our whole liturgical year, just hearing the whole story of all the different threads that roll through it. So in the midst of unrest, isn't that what we're in right now? And oppression, wars and displacements and sickness and hurt. Yes, seek him in that, but don't miss the joy. It's both and. It's the whole narrative. Those two can come together. The second thing I believe that I heard, at least for you and for me, is when we do find him and when we do seek him and then we do encounter him, whatever narrative it is, be obedient to where God might be leading you, where you might not have ever been before. Isn't that kind of what the Magi did? I don't know who that is. Yesterday I was out. I'm in my yard, and how many of you worked outside in the yard yesterday? How many of you went outside yesterday? I mean, it was beautiful, okay. I chose to work in the yard because my lower driveway has been encroached by that ground cover, and I had like 2 feet of driveway that had been covered up, you know. So I'm out there doing this, and this young man next door comes by, and he speaks to me. His parents have been living there for probably about a year and a half, and I've gotten to know them a little bit. But he stopped and he said, my mom says you're an Anglican priest. I had no idea she knew I was a priest. And we sat there for about 10 minutes and had conversation. I said, Lord, why don't I know them better? Why haven't I been next door more than just when they're out in the yard or out walking? I'm feeling led this year to go into those places that I've never been before. To be a seeker in all the narrative, but when I find it, to be obedient and go where I might not have been. Relationships that I need to establish. Maybe relationships that I'm really uncomfortable with that I need some reconciliation in. The list of possibilities are endless, right? So that's my second word. Be open to obedience to go to those places where you've never been before. Or maybe you've been before and you don't want to go again. Maybe you need to go again. And then the third thing, when they came before this Christ that they found, they gave themselves up to worship, did they not? And I believe that's another call for us, a more heartfelt worship, more generosity in our worship to the Lord and to others. And I think, you know, I know Wendell will tell you this, we've talked a lot about this past year, and some of the ministry he's been involved with called Fish Camp, is that relationship with God is played out in our relationship with one another. That if you want intimacy with God and you don't have intimacy with people, then you're not going to have it with the Lord. And so perhaps we need to give ourselves up to worship and generosity by exercising that with one another, with our community. So number one, you remember what number one is? I don't. I'm going to tell you. Seek the complete narrative, all right? The complete narrative. It's a beautiful narrative from beginning to end. Be open to obedience to go where you've never been before. And then give ourselves over to worship and generosity. And then I'm going to use this, I use it probably every Epiphany sermon I've ever preached, and probably a lot of other people have too. When we do that, when we seek the complete narrative, when we give ourselves over to obedience and go to places we've never been before, when we offer true worship and generosity, our way home will be by what? Anybody? It'll be by another way. We'll change. It might be the same path, but it'll look different. We'll encounter different things. Our way home will be by another way. So let's seek the Lord while he wills to be found and call upon him, for he is near. Amen? Amen. Amen.